Cool. Mr. Kevin Varno.
Mr. Matty Burke.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing better than I've been doing in a very long time, my friend. Thank you for asking.
Tell me about that.
So, let's dive right into the elephant in the room of what I've been up to. August 1st, my wife and I, as you know, went from living in a beautiful house that we redesigned and renovated and loved, got rid of all our shit and moved into a 29-foot motorhome that's 13 years old and nothing special about it. And we were in search of something. I think on paper we had gotten to the point in our life where we told ourselves that was the finish line and you could put your feet up. It was like consistent finances flowing in, the house we want, the security we want. And it was just so comfortable. And with that comfort, we were mean to each other. We didn't have a good fucking relationship. Like we were so comfortable everywhere that anything that didn't bring us comfort, we deflected on each other. It was like we were each other's punching bags. So moving into the motorhome and traveling around the country was kind of like a let's burn this shit down and it'll either ruin us or it'll be the best thing that's ever happened to us. And we rolled that dice because you live once, right? Am I sure that I knew that's what we were doing at the time? I don't know, but now it's clear. And here we are 6 months later. We're working like a team for the first time in our 7-year relationship. From the outside world looking in, our relationship always looked awesome because we're active people who always did fun stuff. And we just seemed like, wow, they're so compatible. It's like they must be the dream couple. It's like that compatibility. Our compatibility was her personality traits and my personality traits allowed us to put up with each other, not complement each other to become greater than some of our parts. And today I can say, for the first time in our 7-year relationship, we are greater than the sum of our parts. We are uplifting each other. And that has come through the struggle of leaving everything behind, walking away from our careers and our comfort of finances, walking away from the comfort of a home, walking away from the comfort of a supportive community and family. When we walked away from every bit of comfort, it took us probably 4 or 5 months. You know, the majority of our trip so far, we were at each other's throats and you had to break some eggs to make an omelet, and it got worse than it ever did probably 2 months ago. But as of today, it's like we had to go through the fire to actually start to like ourselves enough to start to treat each other better. I know that's a lot and that was a deep way to dive into the conversation, but that's the answer. That's why I'm better than ever, because for the first time in my life, I'm in a relationship that produces something greater than the sum of just the two people in it.
Wow, man. Wow. That's crazy. You know, there's a lot to unpack there, but I think like most people, like the average person would think like the more comfort that we have, the better our relationship would be, or maybe another way to phrase that would be like, I want to aim for comfort. I'm trying to aim to get those things that you mentioned. Like everybody's trying to get those things.
I think our parents tell us that because our parents are afraid of life. It's like I was led by my parents to get a safe job. They wanted me to be a teacher. There's nothing wrong with being a teacher, but their idea of being a teacher being a good thing was you get benefits, you get summers off, you go in at 7, you're out at 3, whatever it is. It's like there's security. You know you're safe and it's a finish line. And although I didn't go into being a teacher, I did chase this idea of a finish line. How do I get a guaranteed income stream? How do I, you know, get to the point where I have flexible and freedom in my schedule and I can take off? And that's what I chased and I got there. And my brain was still programmed to find the things that weren't comfortable. And what's crazy is like one time I accidentally lit the backyard on fire. The morning of Jenna and I were not getting along. We had everything we could ever want in life, and we were just being nasty to each other. And then I lit the backyard on fire. Dead serious. Dried leaves everywhere. I lit the neighbor's chicken coop on fire. We called the fire department. They had to come. By the time they got there, the fire was out, though, because when Jenna saw that the backyard was on fire, she came to my rescue. She ran outside with a fire extinguisher. She grabbed the hose, and we worked like a team. I ran into the neighbor's yard. I let the chickens out of the chicken coop because I was about to burn all of their chickens, and she started addressing the fire. It was like we needed the backyard to be on fire for us to be on the same team. The more we went into the fire, the more we used teamwork. And now we're on the road. We gave up our other more secure careers to chase our dream. We gave up the comfort of our house. We're driving through neighborhoods that we know nothing about, figuring out neither of us are mechanically savvy. We got to figure out how to keep this motorhome from dying. It's like we're leaning into fires every single day. And that's what brings us closer. And I don't know what the wisdom behind that is, but I know it works. And my parents set me up for success because they taught me so much incredibly valuable things on a moral level. They taught me how to work hard, how to be a great person, how to love and be loved. They taught me that wonderful stuff. But they set me up for failure in a way that they convinced me there was a finish line. Like, hey, Kev, if you just get to this point where you know your mortgage is covered and there's food on the table, and maybe that's how they needed to survive. But for me, I don't know. I think it's too easy to be comfortable in this in 2023. You need to create your own challenges to thrive.
I think there's so much in there, even if you think about it to like a fitness metaphor, right? Something as basic as like fitness. It's like your body isn't going to get stronger without any sort of challenge, right? If you're just sitting around eating donuts, like laying down like this all the time, there's nothing, there's no challenge. You never lifted anything besides your hand to get a donut.
Hell yeah, you become pudding, you become the shape of comfort, sinking into the couch. That's, you know, from an evolutionary perspective, the genetics that survived were the people who were striving to do, to grow, to get stronger, to explore. Those were the genetics that got passed on. But now everything's so easy. Our modern life is so easy. Sitting here, I can pick up my phone, and before I know it, somebody from this Starbucks can just bring over food and a beverage to my seat. I don't even have to get up for it. And it's awesome. I guess I'm thankful for what technology has brought us, but with all of that comfort and ease, you gotta find an area where you create your own friction to, just like you stress a muscle, it gets stronger. I think if you stress yourself purposely, you get stronger.
So I'm curious, like, okay, so you decide that you're gonna do this, you're gonna go travel. And is it for a year? Is that the plan, or is there a time frame?
All right, so I gave you the deeper, more meaningful reason for this journey, but the funner story. We grew up our whole lives in New Jersey. We were born in New Jersey. New Jersey's got a lot of great things about it, but we didn't know anywhere else. That's all we knew. We're 30 years old, and we had a tough winter last year. We weren't very nice to each other. We weren't very nice to ourselves. We both get seasonal depression disorder, whatever that is. When it's dark and cold, we get sad, right? So the first day of spring, it was sunny out. We were active. We were feeling good about ourselves. We were being nice to each other. And we had a conversation last year, probably 10 months ago now. Why are we happy today? Like, we've had such a long streak of us being individually miserable and as a couple miserable. But today, something's different. And it was the sun. It was sunny out. And we're like, all right, if we didn't choose New Jersey, if we weren't born in New Jersey, would we have chosen it? Or would we have gone somewhere that had more mild winters? And we just started talking shit. And I'm like, well, our businesses are online right now. Technically, if we were ever going to do this, we don't have kids yet. If we were ever going to do this, we could just move into a motorhome and travel the country for a year. And I said it as a joke, just talking shit. Well, I said it to my brother, and he put me in contact with his father-in-law, who's owned a motorhome, just so I could ask him some questions logistically. So on Thursday, I came up with the idea, talking shit. On Friday, I talked to his father-in-law. By the end of that phone call, he offered to sell me his RV. The next day, I go into the gym and I'm training a client and I'm telling her how funny it is. Like, how funny is it? I came up with this idea and already somebody's offered to sell me the RV. And she goes, well, what are you going to do with the house? I'm like, I have no idea. This fell in my lap yesterday. I guess I'll figure out what it's like to be a landlord. And she goes, I'll take the house. So
wow.
On Thursday, I got the idea and I started running my mouth, just like I do everything. My mouth gets me in trouble. On Friday, somebody offers to sell me their RV. On Saturday, somebody offers to rent my house. And it was time to put my money where my mouth was. And I'm like, fuck, this is the universe saying I got to go through with it. So 6 weeks later, we put some of our stuff into storage. We sold a bunch of our stuff. We downsized everything. And we jumped into a motorhome without any idea of where we were going to stay that night. We have no idea. And until this day, we live every day by the seat of our pants. We have no clue. We're just figuring it out. We're purposely creating struggles to solve them together. And it tested our relationship like crazy, but now it's building it. So I think that answers your question. Right now it's 1 year, but I'm hoping the tenant wants to sign another year because I don't miss the house. I'm sure we'll eventually end up settling down just because statistically, how could we not? But as of right now, I want to live in a motorhome on the road forever.
Dude, it's so crazy, isn't it? When things happen like that, conversation, buy it the next, or get offered it the next day, and then I'll take your house. It's like all these signs right away.
Yeah, man. And the more that I let myself just be myself, which is something I've never been good at, and just let myself talk shit and let myself go in the direction that stuff is happening and then figure it out later.
I like that saying, by the way, talk shit. Just talk shit.
The better my life's getting. It's like I lived 30 years with this filter that I've put on myself that was built by everybody else's fear and guidance of what they figured out in their life. And all this filter did was it took genuine Kevin and it filtered him into the person I thought was supposed to be because of everybody else's input. And the more I remove these filters and just let myself talk shit without having to have evidence of why I'm going to make this move in my business or why I'm going to go talk to this person or why I'm going to go do that, the more things work out incredibly. Like as I get closer to trusting my intuition and just taking action and figuring out how to build it later, the better things are going. The more I used to try and control it and filter who I am through whatever everybody else told me was the right way to be, the more I was unhappy. And just even if I had things that other people thought were comfortable, I was miserable. You know, I was kind of lost.
This is a question that's came up before. I'd like to ask it. What do you think intuition is?
All right. Animals live in the moment. Human beings are the only animals that live in the past and the future and not in the moment. Other animals just go by their nature. They don't understand the concept of past or future. Their intuition is developed by things that have happened in the past, but it's all right in the now. And I think we lose that. So what do I think intuition is? It's faith. Being present. It is a gut instinct. It is a subconscious magnet that if you just allow to do the work, it's going to bring you to the right place. I don't know if that answers what intuition is or if it just gives a bunch of bullet points that surround intuition and I'm beating around the bush, but
I think that's all you can do, right? I don't think there's a right answer.
Hell yeah, man. And that's, I'm reconnecting with my own intuition and living in more flow and being more in the moment. And I'm also helping my clients live with their intuition too. It's like everybody wants a diet plan and a workout routine that's going to give them 6-pack abs. And maybe that exists if you can follow it. But if you don't develop your own intuition, your own gut instinct and relationship and knowingness of how food affects your body specifically and how exercise affects your body and specifically, you're not going to do it for the long term. The only thing that we do for the long term is intuitive. So I don't know if I know exactly what intuition is, but it's something that I've been dancing around and thinking about a lot lately.
I have this idea that it's like, you know, I don't know if God's the right word. It can be God if you're religious. And I'm starting to become more religious, but it could be God. You call it the universe. But it's interesting. Like, I think when people say things like, I'm on the right path. And, you know, like, I don't know if you ever felt that. I mean, it sounds like you're living it, where it's like, I'm doing the right thing at the right time here. I was meant to be doing this. And the same thing with like those three events that happened. It's like you talked about it and then it happened, you know? And it's like, okay, it's almost like how I look at it. It's almost like could be you have this path that you're supposed to be on or a direction that let's say would give you the best life. And your intuition is kind of pulling you towards that. And that could be like, okay, you call it God, or you could call it like, you get real sciencey about it and be like your genetic code and your subconscious and your whatever builds up. And then this is what you feel like you want to do or whatever. But
I love that I'm talking to you, bro. Not a lot of people who can have this conversation or want to have this conversation, but just hearing what you said brought out more clarity in what I already know. And I had two conversations last week with very important people to me. One of them is he's a monk who I met in the Starbucks, which is like an oxymoron.
Nice.
And the other one is an old friend of mine.
Having a coffee, was he?
Yeah.
Grabbing a latte.
And now we Zoom call twice a week and philosophize together. He should be a guest, actually. So
yeah,
what he refers God to is God is all things that I don't know right now. That's what he calls God. All things that I don't know right now. And this other gentleman I talked to, he's works on so many projects that he loves and he just seems to be so light. And I said to him, like, how do you do this without burning out? He's like, it all gives me energy. And basically what these two gentlemen were talking about was neither of them think that they are uniquely the creator of the work they do. They both think that there is a shared consciousness and their ideas are not their own. And their service to the world is not their own and their products and whatever is not their own. And they would probably say this very differently and more eloquently, but at the end of the day, the reason why they're both so light is because they gave up the story that they're the ones creating the path. They're the ones creating the ideas. They're the creators. All they're allowing to happen is they're getting out of the way and allowing intuition or a shared consciousness that all human beings can tap into. It is there. They're allowing it to flow through them. And that may be what I think intuition is. It is a shared consciousness that all humans can tap into, that if we just give up this story of our own importance, of our own responsibility to control something, we can let it flow through us naturally.
Yeah. Yeah, that. Did you ever read the book, The War of Art?
No. Tell me about it.
Stephen Pressfield. It's a really good book. He talks about like, it's basically about creativity and what it is. But a main point of it is like the resistance to creativity. So you sit down to write, let's say, and, you know, there's going to be a million things that pull you off the track. That's like, I got to do this, I got to do that. It's like this big resistance of like, I can't, I'm not a good writer, all this stuff, like writer's block. And the word he used was the muse. And he used the word muse for like the, let's, you know, kind of what you're talking about there. God, the collective consciousness. It's like the ideas that you get for writing or for painting or for music or for whatever you're trying to do, they come from somewhere else. And I've definitely experienced that myself with creative things that I do and have done. And I think you're right. And it's life too. It's like, it's not, and the people you mentioned too, it's not you. And I think there's actually power in that. It's like ego is trying to grab onto it and be like, I'm the important one. I'm so good at this. But the ego will fuck everything up. You got to be able to let that go and just let it in, you know?
So last Wednesday, I was burned out, and I was having a conversation through Zoom with my monk friend, and I was explaining to him how I was burned out, and he started smiling. And he's like, you're not exhaling. He's like, you've got this momentum where you're noticing success, and now you're starting to think that you are the one creating that success, and your head is getting so big that you're looking up at this 16-foot billboard of yourself thinking, I am that big and I have to live up to that guy. And that's why you're not letting yourself just be, because you've blown up your ego so big and now you're trying to deliver on that. You've set this major expectation. And he's like, just exhale, man. And 100%, dude, the ego is something that I think it's a constant roller coaster of you keep it in check, it blows up. You keep it in check, it goes to the basement, and it's a constant oscillating battle with the ego, dude.
100%. There's a saying I've heard I really like give it to God. One of my mentors that has really helped me, his thing, he's like a football coach, but he was a counselor for 30 years. And I go over at his house and we have like 3-hour conversations about life and stuff. And his thing is like, he has a thing on his visor of his car before he gets out and coaches anybody or does anything. It says, it's not about me. It's not about you, you know, talking about himself. And there's something to that where it's like, yeah, just what you just said, like you create this big story about yourself, but it's not you. Like you mentioned, like following your intuition, going with your gut, whether it's like business or with these decisions that you're making now, it's like, that wasn't your logical, like, I'm going to do this. It wasn't your ego that did that. It was like, something's pulling you towards that. It's not you.
Hell yeah, man. Sam Harris talks about lack of free will and how ideas, they don't belong to you. Like, ideas just pop up. They're not yours. They're coming from whatever word you want to call it. But I love the idea. I love the idea that ideas don't belong to us. And by letting go of control and just sitting there, we can actually open ourselves up to letting it flow through us.
I think that alleviates anxiety, or it can, right? Because like you said, it's like, I'm burnt out. It's like, well, I've got to live up to this big fucking thing I built myself. You know, and then the antithesis of that is like, it's not actually me.
When you trust, like, let's say I buy this DeWalt drill and it's brand new and I bought the expensive one and it's got a brand name that you really trust, I let the work go through the drill. I don't try and control it. I trust that the drill is the right tool for the job and it's going to deliver this what's needed. It's strong enough. It's capable enough. It's adequate. But I struggle to feel that way about myself. The drill isn't going to build the house, but the drill is going to be the medium that the house gets built through. And maybe I'm not responsible for the idea, but I am the medium that the idea is going to flow through. But the less I believe in my own adequacy as that tool to allow it to flow through, the more I restrict the ideas to flow through me, the more I try and control it, the more I try and come up with the ideas because I fool myself and think, oh, I'll feel more secure if I'm in control of all of this. But the more that I learn to trust me to feel like I'm good enough, right? Like, oh, Kev, you are good enough. You are capable enough. What you have to offer is enough to make the difference you want to in the world. And that's a fleeting feeling for me. It's not a feeling that I've had for a long time, and it's not a feeling that I hold at every moment of every day. In fact, I'm lucky if I have that feeling for 50% of the time. But when I do have that feeling, then I can give up control because I am good enough. I am the tool that is reliable, that will deliver. And I think the reason why I block myself from so many ideas in the past is because I fear that I'm not an adequate enough tool to do those ideas justice. So I think that's where a lot of people run into this stress of major ego, constricting ideas, not letting it flow through them, is because they don't think they're good enough to just be and everything will work out well. And instead of just being, they're judging, they're in the past, they're in the future, they're constricting, they're trying to control, and it's stressful.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. That's like the dichotomy, I guess. It's like, because that's work too. That's like, you know, it's like, it's good to understand intuition, faith, whatever, creativity, letting them come in, letting it all come in. At the same time, like, to be able to get out of the way and like really get out of the way, you have to, you got to do some work and figure out why there's such a block there, you know?
I think that block comes from, maybe this is obvious and maybe it's just wrong, but lately what I've been going down the path of is, I think that that friction and that block and that feeling of, I'm ambitiously waking up in the morning and going into the world trying to do these things, but it's just taking my energy and I feel like I'm running against the wind. I think that that friction is when you're not being, and this word is overused, but when you're not being authentic, when you're not your authentic self, everything you're doing, you're wearing this costume that is so heavy to wear. So you and I have had coaching from the same people. And when I try and be those coaches, so it's weird. Tim taught me how to sell. Ali taught me how to coach. But I found that every time that I tried to sell as good as Tim does, or sell like Tim, or run Tim's play, I was wearing this costume that weighed so much. And I would hold all the tension in my jaw because it just stole so much energy from me to try and be Tim. I couldn't be Tim.
Yeah.
Now, I needed to learn what Tim had to teach me, but I needed to be Kevin and wield some of the tools that he taught me in my own way to flow without having to carry around this costume that stole my energy from me. And when I tried to coach like Allie, oh my God, I'd be self-conscious. I would overtalk. I wouldn't sit and listen. And I carry it right here in my jaw. So this is my canary in the coal mine. When I feel this jaw, I'm like, what costume am I wearing? Who am I trying to be? I can't live up to be the salesman that Tim is. And I can't live up to be the coach that Allie is.
Yeah.
But if I just trust that the salesman that Kevin is who's going to make the difference in the world that I want to make, that's a potential I can live up to. If I just let it flow through Kevin, I can live up to that potential. I can't live up to Tim's potential because that's Tim. And I can't live up to Allie's potential because that's Allie's. And when I try to, because that's the example that was set for me and that's how I was taught, oh, dude, I want to close my laptop by noon and go take a nap and cry because I'm just so tired of trying to be somebody I'm not. I don't know how we got here, but I've been thinking about that lately. And as I learn to trust myself and be okay with myself and know that I am enough, then I can start to use their guidance, but let it flow through me. And it gives me energy.
Yeah, dude, I'm 100% with you on that. Like, went through something similar. And I think it's like, you know, you mentioned like Tim's potential, Allie's potential. The thing is, like, you have Kevin's potential, and that looks completely different. Like, what works for other people is not going to work for you. And I think it's like, It's just crazy, like when you say things in your own words from your own perspective, like that's when, like, that'll take you to your place, you know? So think in the beginning when you try to do anything, you know, like we're talking about stand-up comedy before we had jumped on. I've been doing stand-up for a bit. It's like in the beginning, you do anything, you're just trying to do what other people do. You have a mentor or you just watch a stand-up comic, you're like, I want to adapt that style, and you're kind of like just copying it a little bit, right? But then you come into your own, and then you're like, this is my voice, this is what I want to do, and then that creates your own thing.
And dude, it's funny. I did a career day last week for a bunch of high school kids in San Francisco, and one of the things I told them was like, "Be yourself." And as I told them that, I'm like, "Look, people have been telling me to be myself for 30 years, and I didn't know what it meant until like 2 days ago. Like, I had no idea what anybody meant. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?" And I think the fact that I couldn't understand it just shows how much I wasn't being myself.
Do you
But
think
it,
I sorry, go ahead.
no, I, you're saving me because I forget where I was going. Go ahead.
Okay. Do you think getting out of your environment helped with that? Like getting out of the environment you grew up in and all that stuff, like, do you think that helped you understand who you are or be yourself?
It had to 100%. I grew up in a household that my oldest friend, he looks at my family and he says, "You guys are overly functional." So everybody talks about like, I come from a dysfunctional family. I grew up in an overly functional family. My parents are the happiest people on the planet. They have the greatest marriage. They've never said a bad word to each other. I've never, ever in my life seen a fight in my family. Like, I've never seen my parents argue. I've never seen one of my siblings say anything negative to each other. So I want to start by saying I'm so grateful for my privilege of growing up in that family. But what they didn't have was a surplus of financial health or physical health. So I grew up in this family that had love and connectedness and bonding, but covering the mortgage, it was a coin flip. Who knows if it was going to happen this month or not? And everybody suffers from some medical ailment that they're not taking care of. So I'm 17 years younger than my oldest sister. So I got to be raised and see these adults and how they lived. And I took the good, but I also realized I don't want the financial health or the physical health that my parents had. And being in that environment, it was impossible to break out of because the ways that we spent our time did not produce financial success and it did not produce physical health. So from the time that I was 18 years old, I gravitated toward, living with my girlfriend's families. It was like I was a nomad from 18. I would just, anybody who I was dating at the time, I'd be like, "All right, well, I'm just going to spend all my time over in this family because the dynamic is different." And when I bought my house, I moved 40 minutes away from my family. And to them, that was crazy because they all live within one traffic light of each other. They're like, "Where are you going?" But I realized I spent a lot of my life not going towards what I wanted, but running away from what I knew I didn't want. I didn't want to be strapped financially, and I didn't want to be reliant on these pills from doctors to be healthy.
My God, put that on a fucking bumper sticker.
Now,
What that phrase.
I wasn't self-aware enough to know that this is what I was doing, but it's obvious. I was always running away from my environment because in that environment, I was suffocated by the behaviors that lead to an outcome that I didn't want for myself. And it was the comfort of this new environment that I had created over the last 5 years that had kept me the same again. I needed to leave that environment because now, when I struggle, if I wake up and I'm having a bad day, there is no contingency plan. I can't just go back to the way things were anymore. I'm forced to step forward into my potential. In the past, if I woke up and I wasn't having a good day, it's like, cool, it doesn't matter. I have a gym down the road that I can just go and be a personal trainer at and make money, no problem. I don't need to evolve. I don't need to change. I don't need to reach my potential. I can just go. The bills will be paid. I have family around the corner that's going to give me a hug when I need it. I have all of the comfort that I need to stay exactly the same person. But that same person's not happy. Even though he keeps eating up all this comfort, he's still not happy. I needed to change the environment. Not because I'm so smart that I was able to design an environment that's going to bring me to the potential that I want to have, but because all I know is that staying in that same environment was the safety blanket that was keeping me the same. So I still don't know what environment's going to bring me to my potential. But if I keep shaking it up, I'm sure I'll find it.
What have been some of the challenges living on the road?
Routine. For a living, I coach people on routine. If you can make something so routine that it just occurs subconsciously, you don't need to make all the same decisions. You don't need to make all these decisions every day. You don't need to exhaust yourself with these novel obstacles every single day. And you can really produce the outcomes you desire, right? Working with executive men, it's like everything's got to be routine. Your time is so valuable. Your energy is so valuable. Your decision-making ability is so valuable. You can't waste it on what you're going to wear in the morning and what you're going to have for breakfast. That needs to be automatic. Moving into the RV, I don't know where I'm waking up tomorrow. So to develop a routine of self-care, of meditation, of eating healthy, of exercising, it has been devastatingly tough because we might have to pack up our home and drive for 3 hours, three times a week. There's minimal structure. That being said, it's sharpening the axe, right? Now, I'm now learning how, in a chaotic lifestyle, how to still develop a semblance of non-negotiables and routine. And I'm developing it in the fire, not by reading a book and saying, look, in the miracle morning, you do the savers every morning and life is good. Oh, no, I'm figuring out on the real, when you're living in a 29-foot motorhome with another human and you're traveling around the country and nothing is consistent at all, you have no internet, you have to find. I'm figuring out how to create consistency in chaos, which I love, but that's been the hardest, is to be consistent in a routine.
Has there been troubles with the RV breaking down? I mean, what does that routine look like for you? Are you waking up early? Are you, yeah.
I've always been an early riser. I stopped when we moved into the RV. The RV is it's not insulated, and rarely do we plug into electric. So we sleep and it gets freezing, which I love because it's a great sleeping environment. But to wake up at 5 a.m. when it's cold outside and it is maybe 40 degrees inside the RV, dude, it's tough. So I'm letting myself have a little bit of cushion now, and I'm out of bed by 6 a.m. every single day, but I'm no longer a 5 a.m. riser. As far as the RV breaking down, we ran into trouble early with the generator on really hot days. It would overheat and turn off. So I'm not mechanically sound. So I had to figure out how to repair a generator. The propane tank started leaking the other day. So I got a full pack schedule. I'm training clients. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And I'm 1 minute away from hopping on a Zoom call, and Jenna calls. She's like, hey, the propane tank is hissing and it smells like rotten eggs. Oh, shit. Is our home going to explode? Like, every day something like this happens. Right now, we drive a sedan, a Mazda, and we've been taking it into the desert and driving on some pretty beat up roads. We got a tire that loses all of its tire pressure every single day, and we're nowhere near any mechanic. So I just keep putting air in this tire, and I'm crossing my fingers. Any day now, the tire is going to be dead flat, and we're going to be in a pickle that we have to solve. So there's a ton of juggling stuff. And I used to do those repairs with all that tension in my jaw because my mind was, this is such a burden that I have to fix this right now when I should be building my business. What I realize now is, if I run my business the way I'm supposed to run it, there's so much time for me to repair the car and repair the RV and enjoy doing it because that's who I am. It's part of my adult responsibilities right now. It's part of my life, and I'm more accepting of it. But in the beginning, every time something would break, I was so grumpy. But I was only grumpy doing it because I wasn't happy with where my business was.
Right.
We found water that came through the RV. I had to tear a whole wall out, seal up the outside, treat any mildew, rebuild the insulation, rebuild the wall. I'm not a handy person, bro. I'm figuring out on the fly, but I'm enjoying it. I'm learning to take the hits and not get beat up over it. And I'm learning when you're actually mindful and in the moment, there is so much more time in the day because you're not pissing it away doing nonsense. So there's time for all of it. Everything else is a story and an excuse and a bad perspective.
Wow. I can tell by the look in your face and your body language by the like when you were talking about doing that stuff. It's like you're generally happy to be doing it.
And it's new, man. And it's not consistent either, right? It's like I'm finally in the moment enough to recognize when I'm in a state of flow and I'm just Kevin living Kevin's life and everything is as it's supposed to be. And I'm in congruency with my authentic self, whatever you want to say. I don't know. But then I catch myself oftentimes, and this is my canary. Anytime I'm gritting my teeth, I'm like, why am I fighting against this right now? What am I doing wrong that right now I'm not satisfied with how I'm spending my time? And there's always something to be learned there. So you're catching me at a good time right now where I feel good. I'm in this flow state. I'm happy with where I'm at. All my responsibilities are checked off. Relationship's good. Business is good. Clients are doing great. And I get to be here with you. But it's not always like that. I catch myself constantly slipping. I'm just able to catch it sooner now instead of living in that place in all times where I'm fighting against the grain.
Right. There's a few questions I would like to ask every guest. The first one is an interesting one. What do you think happens when we die? Probably the best answer.
Yeah, I'm cool with it. I don't know what I think. I used to dismiss the question and not really think about it by just saying, doesn't matter, you're dead. Whatever you were just goes. I did have a psychedelic experience that I still haven't made total sense of yet, but I think it shifts that perspective. And we'll talk about that more in depth the next time we have the opportunity to sit down. But about, I don't know if it was 18 months ago or 2 years ago, probably like 2.5 years ago, I smoked DMT. And I got taken to this place that felt like home, home outside of my body. And you can't really articulate an experience like that, but I imagine that there is a pool of something somewhere, energy. Let's just call it orange, the color orange, so you can have a visual aspect of it. And I think that this color orange is what it means to be human. It's that essence. Call it the soul, call it whatever. I think we all have a drop of it. And I think when we die, our drop returns back to the pool. I think I have a drop with me right now. It's what makes me human. It's what allows me to have thought, emotion, in the internal world. It allows me to have the full spectrum of the human experience. And it also allows me to connect with every other human, because you and I both have a drop of this orange in us. It's our connection that keeps us together. And the only thing I know, I say I know, the only thing I believe is that when I die, that drop that I had borrowed for my material lifespan on Earth, it's just going to go back into the pool. I'm going to be returned back to where we all came from, the combined pool of what it means to be human. And I think that's a really comfortable place to be. Yeah, maybe. Fuck. Now I'm using comfort as a good thing. Previously, it was a bad thing. I think it's I think it's a place where you're in the moment and you love it. I think we return there. I think we return our drop that we had borrowed.
Beautiful.
What do you think happens when we die?
Something similar to what you just said, I'd say.
Hard to put it in words, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you articulated it well. I think it's very similar to what I think. I think it's we all have energy and we go back to where we came from. And I think it's bigger than we can understand. That's kind of a common thing to say. It's universe is big, but it's like it's just not something we can comprehend.
Words can't articulate it, and the physics that we come to like put our whole sense of control and understanding on don't exist there. Don't think you can put, so I call it the color orange. Like it gives it some sort of physical thing that we're able to comprehend right now. So, all right, yeah, a pool of orange. I take a drop of orange. It's mine now. It's mine now. I return back to that pool of orange, whatever that is. It's energy, some form.
Okay, let's last question. We'll end it on this. How do you want to be remembered after you die?
I don't know if this answers your question, but the first thing that I thought about is I don't necessarily care that, and I might change my mind the moment we get off this call and shoot you an email. Like, I take that back. This is how I want to be remembered. I don't necessarily care that I get remembered. I hope that the way that I made other people feel about themselves is a feeling that they can carry with them. It's got nothing to do with them remembering Kevin, but if I made Maddie Burke feel a feeling, if I was the spark that made you feel a feeling, I hope that that feeling has a ripple effect that affects you forever. And I hope that that's what I leave. That feeling affected you forever and affects everybody that you communicate with forever. And I don't think that that's a memory in the way that we think of memories, like, oh, I can remember a date, a time, a person. But I think that your body will remember that feeling. It will be somewhere in your body that you get to carry with you forever. And my hope is that it's positive, and my hope is that it's permanent.
So it's like what you gave.
Getting emotional thinking about it. I really don't know that I care that I'm remembered. I care that suffering is reduced. I care that suffering is reduced in others. I hope it's permanent.
Thank you for sharing, man.
100%, dude. It's my pleasure. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to be the one talking, so that I, at the end of the day, you do such a good job of asking me questions. I'm just sitting here kind of having a conversation with myself, and it's very rewarding for me to do that. So thank you. I appreciate it because you made me say things that maybe I didn't know about myself. So thank you so much, man. What you're doing is special, and I think you're having a really big impact, not only on the guests that you have on the show, but the people who watch it. I know your interview with Ali had a tremendous impact on me.
Thank you, man. I'm very happy to hear that. Where can people find you on for your coaching and that sort of thing? Where can people find you?
Right. This is one of my biggest fears is pretending like I'm somebody who deserves attention, because I've always tried to do it in the way that I've seen other people do it, and I fear I can't live up to that potential. So it's like I see somebody who has a social media following, and I see that as their potential. And that's always scared me because I can't be them. So I've never created a social media following. So what I'm attempting to do right now is step into that fear and actually create a place where people can find me on YouTube, and I can slowly help them build their intuition of how to live a healthier, more fulfilling life through YouTube shorts. And I'm saying this now, not because the channel exists yet, but on Wednesday, my first video will drop there. It's nothing special. I'm putting myself out there, and I'm going to start to try and share what I've learned, and maybe you've heard me discuss on this podcast, and help other people who are maybe a step or two behind me get to there. So YouTube, Kevin Barno Coaching, I will be committing to stepping out of my comfort zone and trying to make an impact on the world through YouTube shorts. That's where you can find me.
That's awesome, man. I love the mission. Everyone go check it out.
Thank you, dude. I appreciate it, man. Love you, brother.
Love you too, man. Thanks for coming on.